Good morning and welcome to today's edition of All Sides Weekend. I'm Christopher Purdy with a world premiere to tell you about. But by way of a setup, let me just say that on March 25th, 1913, Franklinton was pretty much devastated by a flood. The rains from this flood had been going on and crippling the Midwest for several weeks prior to their arrival in our city. But the effects of the flood in Franklinton on that date resulted in 96 deaths and, I don't know, 400 or 500 persons missing, not accounted for, and really decimated the neighborhood. Now that event, that flood, is the subject of a brand new opera, which is a co-production between Opera Columbus and Pro Musica Chamber Orchestra called The Flood, music by Corina Fujiwara, and I am delighted that today's program is devoted to, if I may say, the women of the flood, the people responsible for bringing this production to the stage. They are composer Corina Fujiwara, welcome, whom we know. One of my favorite pieces was written by you, Camille Claudel, for the Columbus Dance Theater, and my boy Tim Veach. Hello, Tim. which you performed with your quartet, Carpe Diem String Quartet.
Yes.
Very big part of Columbus's musical life and the life of the performing arts because you tour and you work everywhere. Peggy Creadai is the artistic director of Opera Columbus. She was featured in a recent edition of the international magazine Opera News, deservedly so. Her track record in producing terrific theatrical presentations in Columbus is pretty much paralleled only by Janet Chen, who is the executive director of Pro Musica Chamber Orchestra. So opera is often about tragedy. There is enough tragedy in the flood to go around with all of the deaths and all of the decimation. Having said that, I do want to sell tickets. The performances, let me just say, and we will repeat this, but the performances are February 8th, 9th, and 10th at the Southern Theater. So they're coming up soon. So tragedy, flood, terror, but we want people to come to this story. I will say that I heard a workshop of this about a year ago, and I'm sure things have changed since then. But this was a workshop concert presentation of about an hour of the score that was done. And I went away intrigued and very, very moved by the music and the text and the story. So I plan to be there for all three performances. Mm-hmm. And things being how they are, I'll probably have to pay to get my way in. But okay, that's fine. I said this was a collaboration between Pro Musica and Opera Columbus, so I want to start with Janet Chen. Is collaboration a fair word to say that, and how did it come about?
Collaboration is more than a fair word. I almost feel like it's been a marriage.
I was going to say that.
and we're still together. So
it's only been a year.
Okay, married.
Yeah.
So absolutely, you know, this nugget of an idea, not even really the topic of the flood at the time, came about really almost like 3.5 years ago when Peggy and I got together and really just we were brainstorming. You know, Peggy has great visions and continues to have great visions for opera. And she was so intrigued about, I think, commissioning and what that can do for an organization, but what it can do for the genre and the future of our repertoire. And for Pro Musica, commissioning is obviously in our blood.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You're the one person who knows more than anybody mm-hmm. else about commissioning new work.
So, yes, The Flood actually will be our 67th commission. But we've never commissioned a work of this caliber, a chamber opera. So that was incredibly exciting. And you know, the genesis of the idea, we can talk a little bit how that came to life. But it's definitely been a labor of love. You know, this is really a shared experience, and we are just really honored to be part of it.
And Peggy, where did the idea begin?
Of this particular...
Who said one day, wow, there was a devastating flood in 1913, do you remember? And you'll say no, but I'm just, how did this...
Well, and as a matter of fact, it was WOSU. So
I should think so.
So we wanted to do it about Columbus. We wanted Columbus to be the backdrop so that it's really, you know, paying homage to the city as well, telling the history. And so we thought, who knows Columbus better than the whole series of Columbus neighborhoods was so incredible. And so we sat down with Cindy. And
Cindy,
we brought
Cindy Gaylor, the producer of Columbus Neighborhoods.
That's
one of the producers, yes.
And Corrine was there, Janet, Stephen Wadsworth, the librettist. And we said, which out of all the research you've done is the topic that is the most operatic? And she said, the flood, hands down. And then when she described it and we learned more about it and Franklinton and how that's, you know, that's a neighborhood that's being rejuvenated right now. And it's a big focus of development in the city. So it just made so much sense.
Now, when we say that the flood, obviously the event was no laughs. I mean, it's very difficult even now to go back and read the press clippings. And we've all been inured, sadly, by violence and the weather and everything else. But still, I mean, these were children who were literally swept from their beds and never seen again. Mm-hmm. How is this going to be translated into kind of an uplifting or you know, entertainment, if you will?
Mm-hmm. Like I said, the flood and Columbus is the backdrop. The story is about relationships and love and how we're able to move on from traumatic experiences and become richer for it. And so through the story, you're seeing people that have been affected by this trauma through generations. It tells the story of four generations of people in Columbus. And you see them overcome and look at the city now. I mean, it's a great analogy for what happens emotionally in the show.
The point needs to be made that Franklinton is the focus of a lot of redevelopment now, but there remains a lot of disadvantage in Franklinton as
yes.
well. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the nexus is hopefully shifting, but there's still work to do, and hopefully this will stimulate some kind of attention. I like to say, and this is very simplified, that in an opera, the conductor is responsible for what you hear, and the director is responsible for what you see. Again, overly simplified, but I think mm-hmm. for the neophyte, that might be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
What does the composer do, Karina Fujiwara?
Well, I paint sound pictures with beautiful words, and I was given the libretto. When I got the libretto from Stephen Wadsworth, I read this, and then I read it again, and then I read it again, and I kept finding more and more parallels and poignant moments, and I saw, I could, actually, some of the words immediately started being filled with melody in my head. And the very first words that were written, I sat down on the piano and I just started playing. And I thought, ooh, I hit record on my voice memo. And I feel like I take the words off the page and I put them into a landscape of sound and try to tap into emotions through music. Because we put things together in our brain through music than we do with words. And so I think it gives it a different impact. I think it channels differently in our brains. And I feel like it can be cathartic, it can be healing, it can be powerful and frightening and terrifying. And so that's my job.
To the listener, to somebody attending or hearing a performance, but attending in the theater, saw a new piece that no one's heard before, which is going to be the case here. What do you think is going to move the audience first, the music or the words? And is there a right answer to that?
I feel it's inseparable. This show is a piece of musical drama, and everyone had equal parts in this. You know, obviously we couldn't begin without, Karine, your amazing, amazing music and the story, but it has been incorporated to every aspect of the show. Everything has. So the piece really is a whole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The words are written by Stephen Wadsworth, who is also the stage director. It's conducted by Stephen Osgood. You can't write an opera. If you write an opera about a flood, you're going to write watery music. It'll go on for 2 hours and nobody will care. So that's not what's right. I mean, that's not what's going on here. The flood is the situation, but what we care about are the people in the situation.
That's right.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So who are some of the people in the situation we're going to meet through your work, Karina?
Well, we have a lot of situations going on. We have a lot of people struggling with traumatic incidents. And, you know, being a world premiere, I don't want to give away any spoilers, but we have a lot of situations. And the thing is, we all have in our own lives traumatic situations of some degree. And I think at least in three of four of the families, I feel like they're tapping into something that I've personally experienced. And I think that is kind of a global thing. So what is going on? People are looking at their problems. They're looking at some serious issues. to understate it. And they're trying to get their heads around it. They're trying to figure out how to work through their emotions, their traumatic experiences, the things that drive them, the things that keep them up, the things that make them crazy. So this is really what's going on in a lot of the opera, processing, getting around, getting through trauma.
You said that you were given the libretto by Stephen Wadsworth to begin composing the music. So did you two meet and talk about it before he was writing his words?
Oh, we did, yes. We talked in Columbus. I flew out to New York on a couple of occasions, and he's a fantastic storyteller. And so he had some ideas and a general idea of what might happen, because we didn't want to have a flood reenactment.
Right, you're
show.
Starting with facts you can't ignore. This flood
right.
happened in people, but then you have to fashion something that people, the audience is going to care about what
exactly.
happened.
Exactly, right. exactly. So the people care about things that they recognize in themselves. They're moved by that. Whether they're proud of it or ashamed of it, we are moved by things that we recognize. And so he really tapped into that story and created this world. And we were bouncing things off of each other. What do you think about this? What do you think about this person? Could this have happened? Yes. His office at Juilliard was filled with gigantic post-it notes where things were being drawn out, a giant like map of a
like
story.
Like the blackboard map with the arrows. And,
yes,
yeah, yes, yeah.
yes. And so he created this set of worlds. And I was sitting there and I was thinking, yes, this is all real. And again, thinking about what those emotions might sound like.
Are all of the characters fiction? Or are there characters whose names came down to us through the news reports? Or
everyone on the stage is a fictional character. Okay. But there are real names in real places.
Well, there are real situations, certainly.
Yes, in real situations. So you will hear familiar names mm-hmm. and places in the opera, but everybody on stage is very fictional.
We are spending the hour today talking about The Flood, which is a new collaboration between ProMusica and Opera Columbus, and the composer Karina Fujiwara and Stephen Wadsworth, the librettist. It is probably the most exciting collaboration we've had in Columbus in a while, and it's being played at February 8th, 9th, and 10th at the Southern Theater. We're going to take a break and come right back. Don't go away. We are back to today's edition of All Sides Weekend. I'm Christopher Purdy with Peggy Kriya Dye, who is the Artistic Director of Opera Columbus. Janet Chen is the Executive Director of the ProMusica Chamber Orchestra, and Karina Fujiwara is the composer of The Flood. She is also a member of the internationally acclaimed Carpe Diem String Quartet. Before we go any further, ProMusica has a concert this weekend.
We do.
Talk to me.
We do. We have the very up-and-coming Norwegian trumpeter Tina Ting Helseth. She flew in a couple days ago, and I mean, how often do you get to hear a female trumpeter?
Right.
So it's pretty incredible. She will be performing two pieces, the Haydn Trumpet Concerto and also a Macmillan piece called Seraph.
James Macmillan, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful work.
I went to her class at Ohio State.
Oh,
and,
great.
And
yeah.
She's dynamite. She's incredible.
She is,
and
yeah.
sexy, if you don't mind my saying so, if I can say that now. But she's wonderful. No, she's wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
This is in the Southern Theater?
It is. Southern Theater Sunday at
the
7
church.
p.m. and then the Worthington United Methodist Church tomorrow, Saturday.
And our man David Donsmeyer conducting?
He is, yes. Yes, our wonderful David.
And Mrs. Donsmeyer, Catherine Donsmeyer, recently starred as the Merry Widow Opera Project Columbus and had a great success with that.
Did.
She could have took that show and tucked that under her arm
Absolutely.
And walked off stage with a big smile.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it's great to see them both working so much in the community now. That's,
yes.
That's terrific.
They really made it their home.
So ProMusica tonight with Tina Ting Helseth.
Tomorrow night
and Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
That's the day of the week. I've got to learn that someday. Now, Peggy Kriya Dye, you've talked about Columbus being the focus of The Flood, and you wanted to do something that was location-centric mm-hmm. that people in your audience would know. I know that street. I know that neighborhood. And that's going to happen. How did you cast it?
Mm-hmm. With great collaboration from the artistic team. So we did two workshops, which was great because we got to work with different artists and be hands-on. And Karine got to hear how she wants to set the voices, and that helped guide us too. And Stephen had very specific images that he wanted to see on stage and styles of actors. So that helped too. So a lot of – how many emails did we do about casting, do you think?
Oh, my gosh.
There are people who live in Columbus being in the show.
That's right.
Yeah,
we have three actors in Columbus, and then we have one beautiful soprano coming in from Cincinnati.
Terrific. Okay. In terms of how much rehearsal are you having? When did everybody get together for the first time?
It's a 6-week process, start to finish. So, and we rehearse six days a week. Sundays off usually.
And when does the set arrive? Is it here yet?
No, the set arrives, I want to say next week.
Probably.
Next week, yeah. Midweek. Mm-hmm.
When you are planning a production, Peggy, how concerned do you have to be for the look? Not, as opposed to the, opposed to who, I mean what. How it looks when the curtain goes up.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly for people, for operas, they may have an unfortunate stereotype mm-hmm. in their head that we're trying to smash here.
Mm-hmm.
So how important is the look and how do you gauge that?
It's extremely important. And I have to say I've learned that through trial and error. There are some things I would never put back up on the stage that we've done. And other things I'm like, that was right. That's what we need to do. So I think it makes a big difference. And building a set for the space it's in is very important. And Charlie Corcoran, who's building our set, who's award-winning TV, opera, theater, Broadway, he's designed just about everything. So has the costume designer. So that's how he works. So I've learned a lot from the designers as well.
One of the looks that I thought worked brilliantly, and I've heard from a lot of other people that they liked it a lot, was the Carmen.
Great. I do get a lot of great feedback from that.
Yeah, which had a kind of a minimalist... But it was easy to populate
mm-hmm.
with everybody in the show.
It's a big show, big
cast.
It was
a big show, yes.
Right, and it's a small stage in considering other stages in town. So,
the other one that was brilliant, I thought, was Britain's Turn of the Screw.
I loved
which
that.
Had that eerie, ghosty Victorian thing going on the whole time.
That is still in our warehouse. We'll bring it back at
I
some
hope
point.
So.
And that's Charlie. That was the first time he worked for us.
You probably are the first person who ever made that opera a smash hit. With that production. Corina, tell me about your process of actually writing this music. You said, and I've heard this from other composers, that when you first read the words you're going to be working with, you have the idea of the situation. They do hear music in their heads.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you hear in your head, what you initially write down, or are you just letting your brain percolate and then... are you at the piano? Are you at a keyboard, on a computer? How does that work now?
Oh, definitely I let it percolate, and I try to capture it if I can. If I'm driving in my car or on an airplane, which I frequently am, I try to notate it or sing it into my phone if I don't have any hands free, or if I've got the luxury of being at home with the piano, yeah, I'll sit down and play and make notes. And it's mostly just to give myself some touch points with it, because sometimes I'll find something that I really like, and sometimes it just gets tucked away. The process, though, it's a difficult thing. I think it's more like a suspension bridge. There are some things that come very, very quickly. The very first aria heard, it was like immediate creative flow. And there's very little that was changed from the moment I saw those words. It just kind of went right down from brain to music. There are a few other places like that. The Big Octet mm-hmm. is one of those too. And so for this opera and for many projects, the ones that I feel like are really flowing, I write those first to capture them, get them down. I might change them later. And then I make a lot of notes and then somehow tie it all together. This is a very complicated story, and it's a very complicated score. And so it was a little bit like a mental musical jigsaw puzzle to put it together. And so there were a lot of big chunks written and then a lot of potential ways for me to fit them together. And that was the complication of, like, how does this work with that? That process, I don't know that I could actually define it other than just spending a lot of time swirling it around in my head. And then when it finally made sense, it clicked.
You've composed, though, in several different genres. You've composed chamber music, and you've composed music for the solo violin, and you've composed a big piece for dance, Camille Claudel. That was an extensive score.
That was 82 minutes.
So you have worked in bigger forms before.
Mm-hmm.
Is it daunting? Did you ever get to page six libretto and say, I'm going to throw this thing right against the wall and never see it again?
You know, there were parts of the libretto that were just so hard to write because of the intensity of mm-hmm. the subject matter. One moment in particular, actually, I couldn't write it until the end. I just had to put it aside and wait because I wasn't even ready to go there mentally. I couldn't even imagine how I was going to write that. And then when I was ready, it was like mental therapy for me, too. When I was ready, then I was able to write it, and I wrote it all out in one night. But the process is weird. It's a lot of creative flow and a lot of self-trust. And trying to capture and think, well, okay, I can't get my head around this right now, but I can keep plugging away at this other thing. And I think that's been my process, is knowing that it will come, but I cannot force this to come at this time.
Reminding everybody, we're talking about The Flood, which is opening in February at the Southern Theater. The Flood itself was in March of 1913 and pretty much decimated Franklinton. And again, I think 95, 96 deaths were result of that. Countless people lost, devastation of loss of property. I heard about the flood from my wife, who heard about it from her grandparents, who were children and lived through the flood. They lived in Franklinton mm-hmm. in 1913. They were kids, and they had passed down memories and, in some point, yellowed news clippings. So I'm curious if anybody out there has had similar memories handed down to them that they'd like to share. We'd like to hear from you. The number is 614-292-8513. You can also send an email to allsides@wosu.org if you've had memories of the flood of 1913 passed down to you. Also, I'd like to hear from people who have never been to an opera before and may not understand how this event can be made into an opera, because we want you to attend. We want you to come to see The Flood. So,
yes, please.
If you have questions, this is the day, really, to get some good answers from some great people. Composer Corinne Fujiwara, Peggy Kriadai from Opera Columbus, and Janet Chen from ProMusica, 614-292-8513, or send an email to allsides@wosu.org. Janet, what is the rehearsal process like for a new work of this scale when the orchestral score is first delivered to the orchestra, to the parts coming out? And how long does it take musically for the orchestra, ProMusica, to put it together?
That's a great question. Some of it just depends on the timing. When we have commissioned pure, straight, you know, orchestral works in the past, typically we will receive the parts and the score, you know, maybe 2 months prior to the premiere date. And it's a pretty crazy process because it does involve, obviously, bowings and for our string players, and all that has to get translated down to the sections. But really, the fun part comes when we're all together. So, you know, typically when we come together for our first rehearsal, which is, for example, on a Thursday, that's the first time that we're working at it together as a collective. And that's the beauty of commissioning, right, is you often don't know what you're going to get until you get it.
Mm-hmm.
And what's great is that we are the first sort of conduit to bringing this new piece to life and how we shape it. And there's great collaboration still with the composer, even after everything's been inked.
Yeah, it can't be frozen. Is it frozen now? I mean,
No.
We're not making any changes. Goodbye. But
well,
it's not.
No, in fact, it's
a living, breathing thing.
Right.
And every time we're staging it, at this point, it's not going to get any longer or any shorter. But there are definitely parts of it that are shifting and still fluid, which it needs to be because it's not been done before. And so it's in that way, it's still alive, even though the ink is there. There are things that are still being formed and created within it.
So, has the orchestra worked yet with the singers together?
Not yet. So
that's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Right? So actually, kind of capitalizing on the fact that our musicians are here this weekend, the 16 musicians who are involved with the flood, we will come together for the first time on Sunday for an orchestra read, again on Monday for a second orchestra-only read, and then everything is put together on February 4th with the singers. And and we're incredibly excited. You know, I think from ProMusica's perspective, you know, I've been obviously very involved, but finally to get the musicians to carry on the beautiful color that Karina's written, I think will kind of blow our minds.
This is going to be a great event. It's a wonderful score from what I've heard about it. Now, maybe there were changes in the last year that before I heard it, but I was very, very impressed. And the first thing that did strike me was the music. I'm one of these people that I'm always – the music hits me first before the words. Sorry, but that's just just the way it is right now. We have a call from Joanne in Columbus who has had the story of the flood passed on to her. Hi, Joanne.
Yes. When I was probably – maybe 5 or 6. I was very young. I'm 81 now, so we're going way back. My mother wrote a parody for my grandfather's birthday, and I remember I had to sing Remember the 1913 Flood.
Wow.
I don't mean to laugh, but that's a great story, Joanne.
Wow.
Did they share any memories, specific memories of it with you when you were a child?
Well, not. See, I was only 5 or 6,
right.
So either. I mean, this is still in my head all these years.
Yeah.
And I asked my mom about it, and she was just saying it was awful. And her father, it was her father, helped a lot of people, went down and helped a lot of people. And that's really all I know about it.
Joanne, thank you so much for sharing that. We appreciate the call. If you have had memories of the flood of 1913 in Franklinton passed down to you, we'd love to hear from you, 614-292-8513. If you have questions about The Flood as an opera being done by Opera Columbus and ProMusica, February 8th, 9th, and 10th, this is your opportunity to ask, why should I go to an opera? What am I going to experience when I go to an opera? Is it just people screaming at each other? Why would I do that? The best evangelist for pro opera is Peggy Kriya Dye, and she's here right now to take your calls, 614-292-8513. You can also send an email to WOSU.org. It is a great date night. I don't care. It really is.
It's
Flaubert Wim is a great date night when she dies and everybody's crying. I don't see why the flood is any different.
And this is half the length of La Boheme.
Right, and it's
so
in English.
So you got a whole evening. It's in English. It's a great mystery, actually, mystery drama. It's going to look phenomenal. The audience will be the first people that ever hear this opera. I mean, there was a time when Traviata had its very first audience, and it's lived on through generations.
I was there. It was wonderful.
So, you know, it's a big deal. I want people to come see it and witness it.
What is your vision of... People are listening now thinking, why am I listening to this show about opera again? It's fat people yelling at each other. What is Peggy Kriya Dye? What is your vision? First of all, you are an opera singer. You have been for many years.
Right.
So you've been on both sides of the curtain. What is your vision for this company? Why should people go now? What are they getting from it?
They need to come because it's for them. It talks about them. It's going to look like them. It is not – what I'm finding is there's a preconception of what opera is. Opera comes in all colors, all sizes, all different kinds of sounds, especially with new opera. It's very unexpected. There's almost – I hate to say this, but almost nothing traditional about the company. We have preserved the music with great respect, but everything else is meant to be relatable to people today. It's catered for them.
And I think you've done a wonderful job with that because I've taken a lot of people to your shows who would never, they would rather die, you know, and they come back.
Right.
So I applaud you for that. I think that you are the head of innovation at a very, very good way, and you've gotten as your model Janet Tennant Pro Musica, because you folks have been, what, your 67th
commission
of new
experts.
Commission,
experts.
Meaning you're putting up money.
We are putting money.
To get to get new works done. What kind of a life, now The Flood being a piece that is so locale-centric mm-hmm. and stuff like that, what kind of a life do you envision for the piece outside of Columbus, a year from now?
Right. Well, a lot of traditional operas that people do everywhere are located in Seville or China or, you know. So it seems like, oh, how can it be done anywhere if it's all about Columbus? But that's the story is universal. It needs to go everywhere.
And again, I don't think you're going to be seeing or need to see waterfalls on the stage. I don't think we're going to need that because it is an opera about people and it's about relationships. Now, Corina, I'm not sure. Maybe you can fill in for me what kind of relationship are there parents and children? Are there husband and wife? Are there love affairs? But how would the music for relationships differ from romantic to filial to that kind of thing?
Wow. Well,
oh, stick with me. I know my.
Let's see. You know, it wouldn't be opera without all of those things, right? What does the music do? I mean, when you think of music that makes your heart bleed with emotion, well, I tried to write that. When you think of music that makes you angry, that you're mm-hmm. seeing red, I tried to write that.
It's very different. Your textures for each character is very specific, just mm-hmm. like the words are. I feel like you gave musical personality to each person.
I'm glad you feel that way. That's really what I was trying to do. For those people who are scared of the idea of new music, it's not meant to be thorny academic things that you need a postdoctorate work to understand.
There's a lot of that going around. And take this as a compliment. You're not like that. No, you're not a move people.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Having heard your music before.
And thank you. I don't apologize for that.
Good. We are taking a break. We will be right back with more on the Women of the Flood. Don't go away. Who needs a big burn when you have the Flood, which is a new opera by Corina Fujiwara and Stephen Wadsworth, produced by Opera Columbus and Pro Musica Chamber Orchestra. It is based on the flood that came to Franklinton in March of 1913. The performance is February 8th, 9th, and 10th in the Southern Theater. We have been talking about Franklinton a lot and Columbus a lot. So Peggy or Janet, are you making any effort to involve people who live in that neighborhood now with your production?
Absolutely. And that was a really big focus for us. And we were very strategic and intentional about that because, as we've talked about, this is celebrating in some way our city. And we wanted to be sure to include those residents because it's part of history. So we are just really thrilled to have been able to take this story and share it in different capacities. So I'll just give you a couple mm-hmm. of examples of what we're doing. We are partnering with actually several organizations in town, including Thurber House. We're doing a little presentation next week for their Evenings with Authors. Conrad Hines, who wrote this incredible book in which was Stephen did a ton of research based on this book, is going to speak. They're going to do Thurber's The Day the Dam Broke, which is, you know, sort of a different reflection of the flood. We're partnering with Thurber House. We're also partnering with Ohio History Center and Columbus Landmarks. They will each be taking one night and doing a pre-concert talk back to give perspective
Great.
From their the experts they're bringing
at the performances. So after
correct,
the, good.
Actually, this is right before
okay, in, the house,
in the house at 6:30. So you get to hear sort of the historical context from these two institutions. But also, we actually are partnering with Life Care Alliance, based in Franklinton, and Gladden Community House, which is very prevalent in the story. And we are busing with coach buses 100 residents from Franklinton to attend for free at the Sunday performance.
We're giving them the best seats.
Giving them the best seats, premier seats. And also we're working with schools such as United Schools Network. Their Dana Avenue campus is in Franklinton, and in their school there is a flood marker on the second floor. It was used as a safe haven during the flood. So there's so many connections to the community.
So the answer would be yes.
The answer would be yes.
And the artists
yes.
themselves are involved. They're the ones going to these locations and sharing the music and their own stories. And that's great. And the day two, when the artists arrive, they had a guided tour throughout Franklinton. So they were connected to the community the second day they were in town.
Yeah.
So they know exactly where they're singing about.
They do.
Which makes it even more poignant. We have a call from Jennifer in Columbus, who, this is for you, Peggy. She wants to help introduce young people to opera. Mm-hmm. Hi, Jennifer. Go ahead.
Hi. I had a question regarding, when's a good entry point to introduce your children to opera? Obviously, hearing it around the home and what have you, but when's a good age to start to bring them to a live performance?
Well, I'm telling you, I would say start young. My kids started going to opera from the time
they were in the dressing room, probably.
They were, actually.
In snugglies.
They were. And I think it's fine because it's so theatrical. Even they don't have to understand everything. But I think to be surrounded by that kind of art and drama, I think it's awesome. So I think the younger the better, frankly.
Make the point about the titles.
And they're surtitles, right? So you'll never come to the opera and not know what they're saying.
Right.
Either it will be in English, and even if it's in English, we have surtitles to make sure everyone understands the story thoroughly.
The titles were the best invention since the written note, as far
That's
as
right.
I'm concerned,
mm-hmm. yes.
making things really available mm-hmm. to everybody who wants to come. Mm-hmm. Again, The Flood is being performed February 8th, 9th, and 10th in the Southern Theater. There's so much going on around this. There are pre-curtain events at 6:30 before every performance featuring different aspects of the community.
Yes, 6:30 Friday and Saturday. And the Sunday show is at 2. So that will be at 1.
All right.
Concert.
So matinee after that. Okay, so you have, again, Janet Chen, Pro Musica, you have concerts this weekend.
We do.
Let's remind everybody.
Yes. Tomorrow, which is Saturday, 5:30, we're at the Worthington United Methodist Church. Sunday, 7 p.m. at the Southern Theater. And the program is the Norwegian trumpeter Tina Ting Helseth and David Dansmeyer with Pro Musica.
Peggy Kriadai, what's cooking with Opera Columbus after the? Is there life after the flood? And what what's been going on at the Lincoln Theater?
We just did that show last night. It was phenomenal. It was Destiny Coleman, director of education and arts administration for the Opera, wrote and created this program that highlights the African American story, the journey, and featuring Columbus artists. We had African drummers, the Chosani group. We had two gospel choirs. We had Boys and Girls Club involved, the incubation program at the Lincoln Theater. And it was a huge celebration of the culture, African American culture, told by people in Columbus.
Weren't you touring that to schools before that? Wasn't that?
So, and I have to say there was also spoken word because they were phenomenal. She created a smaller hors d'oeuvre, so to speak, of the show called The Voice of Freedom. That went all over town. That was, that was so great. It's so uplifting. I had this woman stop me on the way out, and she said, I have lived in this town and waited a long time to see something like this. So, kudos to Destiny. We're going to do it again. So.
I was going to say that sounds like something that could be revived yearly
and
added to or maybe adapted. But sure, that's just
it was
great and room for something
Kappa
like that.
Kappa partnered with us on that. And I don't know that we would have been able to do that without that partnership. So thank you to Kappa.
Thank you, Chad. Thank you, Chad. Kappa.
Helping that get
By
on
By the way,
feet.
How are you all going to be faring with Pro Musica is up this weekend. The Columbus Symphony is up this weekend. The H Word, Hamilton, is coming to town. Yeah. It's going to be running for a long time, and the whole world's going to be abuzz. How are you going to be maneuvering around everything that's happening? Or do we care? More is better.
I think more is better, right?
Yeah, more is
you
more.
You can't go to Hamilton every night. No one can afford that.
No.
Or we might. And what we're doing is so different. The concerts that Janet's doing this weekend, so different. So mm-hmm. come to everything.
Yeah. How often have you been performing at the Worthington United Methodist Church? In other words, not downtown.
Well, we've had a Worthington series for at least 20-plus years in the area, and it's been at the Josephinum and now at the Worthington United Methodist Church, and we draw incredible audience from outside 270. We have people from Marion coming down, Marietta. I mean, it's a different geographic location that people like to go to.
So it's a different audience? Yeah,
different
great.
Audience. Yeah. I mean, we obviously have some loyal subscriber fans that come, but really I would say 80% of the audience are not our downtown audience members.
That's great.
Yeah. How important is it to get out of downtown then?
I mean, I think it's just an expansion of bringing what you do to other communities. Mm-hmm. And the more we can, you know, make that relevant and accessible, I think the better. So.
There's been a lot of political buzz about the new tax that's been introduced, that mm-hmm. sponsored by GCAC, mm-hmm. That's now 5% surcharge on tickets. Is that impacting? Do we have opinions on that? Are we happy, sad, or?
I think GCAC has been such an incredible leader in this, and hats
that's
off to Tom Katzmeyer, because, you know, there is so much going on in Columbus, and there's so much to be proud of. There's so much more that we can bring. It's not just our performances. It's the outreach. It's the free concerts. It's getting people to have a quality of life that they deserve in Columbus. And this user fee, this tax will get us to the point where we can do more and focus more on bringing what we do to people in Columbus.
Are you afraid it will discourage people from attending, from buying tickets?
I personally don't, honestly.
I don't either.
I don't.
Okay. I don't either. And, you know, we're figuring it out with our ticket prices, and we'll make it so it's not painful for people. Yeah. It's not so dramatic that I don't think it will upset
people. I have
people.
To say Opera Columbus's prices and ProMusica, too, are quite reasonable. They're not mm-hmm. too dramatic. They are
right.
really.
We start at $25 to come see the flick.
Yeah,
yeah,
so.
To come see mm-hmm. the. And what you're seeing is a non-acoustic, real sound, visual musical presentation where everything is live in a theater mm-hmm. that's maybe 700 people. So you're right there. You're right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right, it is an
right
incredible experience.
And mm-hmm. there's not many experiences exactly like mm-hmm. that aren't heavily mic'd, not that we don't mind, you know, mics, but I'm just saying it's
mm-hmm.
I'm a bug about that, about having pure unamplified sound. I mean that mm-hmm. to me is the demarcation between what is classical yeah. music and mm-hmm. what isn't.
I think there's an intimacy to
yes.
it,
mm-hmm.
you know, that it feels really authentic and is authentic. And that's the experience, I think, in any of our organizations is what we strive to do is to be to connect directly with the person in the audience. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if they love it or they're like, what is that? Or, you know, they're moved and like, I don't know. That's what we as humans go through every day. It doesn't matter in the theater or in front of a TV or walking down the street. And it's a fabric of our lives that I think we just strive to bring forth.
I think when you're seated in the Southern Sioux, it's much easier for you as the audience member to have a reaction,
mm-hmm.
no matter what it is, because it's right there, and you're right part of it, whether you want to be.
Right.
There.
Yes.
That's it.
You're,
yes.
you're, and there's
you're
so few places today yeah. that mm-hmm. you can experience with a large room of diverse strangers.
Yeah.
And come together in one place for an hour or 2 hours and have an amazing positive experience.
Together.
Yeah, there's
yes.
there's being there and there's everything else. And they're all wonderful, mm-hmm. but really there's
that's
a
right.
difference. Corinne, I wanted to ask you now, I'm in my 60s, and if my parents were alive today, they would say to me, very nice, very nice, get a job. What's your real job? And I've been here for 30 years, okay? So, because radio, you know. So do you get that? What is a composer's job?
Wow. Well, I'm sometimes think that many of my family members don't quite understand what I do for an actual living also.
Isn't it a shame about her? Such a nice girl.
What is my job? In a global sense, what? Entertainment. In a more personal sense, engagement. To draw people in to make something matter, to make it relevant, to make it part of who they are, to make people realize that we are so disconnected right now in so many ways, and fixated on phones and social media and news feeds and stuff, that there exists this life outside of that, the acoustic life, life with no filters. You can see people having emotions right in front of you and feel it with them, and you don't have to like it or scroll by it. You're feeling it in real time. And I think we're getting to a point where we need actually to push that a little harder, because it's so easy to just retreat back behind blue screens and never see a real picture of life as it really is, like it's presented with Facetune and Photoshop, and that it doesn't feel real. It doesn't feel authentic. And so I feel, as a composer, as a performer, my job is actually to evoke human emotion.
Real emotions.
Yeah.
Immediate emotions that aren't filtered through machines.
Yes, right? And you can be happy, you can be sad, you can be, I mean, I hope you're not bored, but if that's how it, but real emotions.
You won't be bored. We have a call from Nancy in Columbus who wants to share a memory. Hi, Nancy, go ahead.
Hi, my name's Nancy Taylor, and my grandfather always told the story of he had a date the night of the flood, and he was taking her home. And when they got to, they had to cross over the bridge, get over the river to get her into Franklinton. And that they told him if he went over, he would not be able to get back. Fortunately, he was able to get back across the river that night. But his date lost one or two, and I don't remember if it was one or two, brothers that were swept away by the flood.
Nancy,
the story. Pretty powerful.
Yeah, you remembered that story, Nancy. Thank you very much for sharing that. We have a couple of minutes if anybody else wants to share a memory passed down to them about the flood of 1913, the subject of a new opera, 614-292-8513, or you can send an email to allsides@wosu.org. Peggy Creadai, you're rehearsing 5 or 6 days a week. You're about to add the orchestra, the full orchestra, to the set is arriving and being built. We still have a couple of weeks before the show, so we're pretty much right on schedule.
Mm-hmm.
I often say the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, they say the Friday morning after Thanksgiving, they start planning next year's parade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When do you start planning your next production, and what's it going to be?
Well, our next production
Don't be telling
together.
Me it's a secret. Because I know, and I'm going to blab anyway, so go ahead.
Well, we have been talking, what are we going to do next?
Yeah.
You know, this is an incredible team. I feel like Corinne is just getting started. Mm-hmm. You know, she's got a lot to say in a very approachable way and beautiful way. So, I mean, I'd love to give her another voice. So, you know, it took, 4 years?
Has it been 4 years from the gestation to
yes.
the
Yes. Yeah. Actually, we were talking about, so Claudel, which you wrote, you said it's the five-year.
5 years ago,
that
yesterday,
was the
world premiere of Claudel.
But you played in that as I was writing it, didn't you?
Yes, yeah. And funny enough, Peggy also sang in that
right,
production.
Of course you did. Yes, of course
so
you
we
did.
Could almost trace the roots back to that little germ of an
right.
Artistic, I don't know, spark to that moment.
And she showed me the score, which made me cry. But there's a little moment in it, and she circled it. She said, I wrote that for you. And it's a little motive from Claudel that I sang.
Claudel,
yeah.
Wonderful.
It's cool. Those are my three notes.
Pro Musica Chamber Orchestra and Opera Columbus present The Flood, which is based on real events in Franklinton in 1913, with music by Corinne Fujiwara, words by Stephen Wadsworth, who's also the director. February 8th, 9th, and 10th in the Southern Theater. It is sung in English. It will present situations and addresses and neighborhoods that you probably will know or have heard about. It is an opera steeped in local history, but all about the relationships with some tragedy as a backdrop. It is for you, as Peggy Creadai says. I thank Janet Chen, the executive director of Pro Musica, for being here today. Concerts this weekend.
Yes, thank you.
Peggy Creadai, as always, the artistic director of Opera Columbus, reinventing and bettering the form. And Corinne Fujiwara, the composer of The Flood and member of Carpe Diem String Quartet. Get your breath and get busy on your next project. I'm Christopher Purdy. This has been All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News. Thank you so much for joining us today. See you at The Flood.